I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. If God is all good and all powerful, why do we suffer? That is a question that all of us eventually wrestle with. Atheists and materialists have no answer to it. To them, suffering is meaningless and pointless, and therefore must be stopped as soon as possible. That's how they justify euthanasia and abortion. Catholicism, on the other hand, teaches that, yes, suffering is inevitable, but it's not meaningless. In fact, if it is offered up and united with the cross of Jesus Christ, suffering can have infinite, eternal value. This is called redemptive suffering. Redemptive suffering. And this Catholic principle can give us great perseverance and comfort in the face of suffering. Now, in the epistle for today, Paul wrote, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul described his own suffering on behalf of the gospel. And he described it like this. He said, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So we do not lose heart, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comprehension." And if you know anything about what St. Paul endured and suffered in his life as an apostle, you know it's extraordinary for him to consider it a slight momentary suffering. But Paul was able to endure that great suffering by keeping his eyes on heaven, by keeping his focus on eternity, living for eternity. And he endured many unbearable hardships as light burdens, not because he didn't suffer, not because they weren't painful, but because he knew that the suffering served a higher purpose. When we keep our eyes on future glory, God's grace and the Holy Spirit can soften the intensity of our troubles and prevent us from losing hope. Now, the saint of the day today, July 16th, is Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Tomorrow, July 17th, is the memorial of the blessed Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne. The blessed Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne. Have you heard of them? Probably not many of us have heard of them. If you don't know who they are, you need to know who they are and what they did and why they're important. The sisters, the blessed Carmelites of Compiègne, were martyrs of the French Revolution. They were martyrs of the French Revolution. Now, the slogan of the French Revolution was liberty, equality, fraternity. That sounds good, doesn't it? And in fact, in my high school history class, the French Revolution was presented as if it were simply a French version of the American Revolution. In other words, it was a righteous rebellion against an unjust and tyrannical king. End of story. It wasn't until years later that I realized how whitewashed the French Revolution has been and how terrible it really was. Because much later I learned that the true motivation of the French Revolution was anti-God and anti-Catholic. Now, the ideas of the French Revolution were actually the ideological grandparents of the ideas of Karl Marx, Lenin, Mao, and the modern anti-God, anti-Christian cancel culture that we see around us, that we enjoy around us every day. So let me tell you a little bit about the French Revolution, to give you a sense of how anti-Catholic it really was. Between the years 1789 and 1794, the leaders of the French Revolution enacted the following anti-Catholic policies. The land and the properties of the Catholic Church were seized, and all monasteries and convents were closed. A law was passed called the Civil Constitution of the Clergy that subordinated the Catholic Church and its clergy, its bishops, its priests, to the state, subordinating them to the state. So they were no longer under the authority of the Pope or the Church. They were employees of the state. They were required to make an oath of loyalty to the state, and those who didn't make that oath, they had a name, they were called non-juring priests. Those who didn't take that oath, and anyone who harbored them or protected them, were punished very severely. This is similar to what's happening right now in China, by the way. Churches were stripped of their statues, their crosses, their anything religious. A new civic cult was promoted in place of the Catholic Church, and it was called the Cult of Reason. In fact, they celebrated a festival of reason, which was held in the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 1793. And my understanding is on the altar, on the sacred altar of the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, they put a statue of the goddess Reason. Even the calendar was changed. The names of the months were changed. The calendar was dated from the first year of the revolution instead of from the birth of Christ. All saints' days and Catholic holidays were abolished. The work week was extended to 10 days. Why do you think that was? It was so you couldn't take Sunday off as a Sabbath. You had to work straight through. See, all of these changes were enacted in order to de-Christianize France. Literally, they were done to de-Christianize France. And France was once called the eldest daughter of the church because of the long, deep, important Catholic history of France. Okay, so who were the Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne? Well, they were strict Carmelites. They lived in a convent in Compiègne, which is a town, now it's about an hour car drive north of Paris. They were 11 consecrated sisters, 3 lay sisters, and two tertiaries, 2 third order Carmelites. And they lived together in a cloistered life, praying for the world. Now, when the revolutionary government of France outlawed religious life, the Carmelites of Compiègne refused to comply. So even though their convent was closed and they had to live somewhere else, what they did, under the brave leadership of their prioress, who was named Mother Teresa of St. Augustine, under her brave leadership, what they did is they separated into four apartments around town, but then they continued to meet for their daily office in one of the apartments. And so they did that under the radar, and they continued their community life. So they continued living their vows. And in fact, they added an extra vow. They added a vow. They took a vow to offer up their fear and suffering during this persecution for the end of the persecution and the protection of France. So they took what they were living through as an opportunity to offer it up to God for the sake of France and the church. The de facto government of revolutionary France was a committee ironically named the Committee for Public Safety. I don't think they appreciated the irony of the name, but looking back on it, we can appreciate it. The Committee for Public Safety was led by Robespierre, and it was responsible for the Reign of Terror. Okay? The Reign of Terror was a period of about a year during the French Revolution, a year of relentless summary executions of so-called enemies of the state. I think, it's incredibly ironic that a government that promotes a cult that they call the cult of reason would execute so many of their own population. It's estimated that during that year, at least 300,000 people were arrested, 17,000 were executed, another 10,000 died in prison, and they were all French men and women killed by their own government. Think about that. It's the first horror of the Enlightenment. When the Committee for Public Safety discovered what the sisters were doing, they were arrested for being fanatics and put on trial. And they were declared enemies of the state. Why? Because they were too Catholic. Of course. Their radical renunciation of the world, their consecration to God, their commitment to prayer was considered to be counter-revolutionary. On July 17th, 1794, the Carmelite sisters were found guilty of treason for being Catholic, and they were sentenced to death. Now, like all prisoners during the Reign of Terror, they were transported. The judgment came the same day. They were arrested, judged, sent off. They were transported across town in an open horse cart to the town center, where the guillotine and a frenzied mob awaited them. This was like in ancient pagan Rome, this was like a public spectacle, these executions, and the mobs got all worked up, right? And so that's what was awaiting them. But this time it was different, because when they arrived, the mob was stunned into silence by what they saw. Because unlike all the condemned prisoners who came before them, the sisters carried themselves with a calm dignity that one witness described as like a bride presenting herself to marriage. They were singing Catholic hymns. As they came down from the cart, they began to sing Psalm 117. Here's what Psalm 117 says. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And so they sang that over and over and over again. Now, one by one, they made their way to the guillotine, from the youngest to the oldest. And on the way up, and they kept singing that psalm, and one by one, as they came up, they stopped to pause and kneel before their prioress, Mother Teresa of St. Augustine, kiss a statue of Our Lady, and say, permission to die, Mother. To which she responded, go, my daughter. One by one, as they went up, their singing voices were cut off as the blade of the guillotine fell. Mother, the superior mother, was the last to die. And after her voice was silenced, there was complete silence in the crowd because they were stunned and dumbfounded by what they had just witnessed. The state, the revolutionary state of France, had ordered the deaths of the Carmelite sisters, but their final act of obedience was not to the state, but it was to Jesus Christ and their Catholic faith. And that's why the blessed martyrs, Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne, are important. The Holy Spirit gave them the grace of final perseverance. They were able to go to their death singing with a vision of heaven before their eyes. And they bore witness to the reality of what St. Paul said, which is, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now here's the best part. Here's the best part. Because miraculously, Robespierre's reign of terror began crumbling after their martyrdom. He started losing power, and in fact, only 10 days later, he himself was arrested and dragged to the guillotine the next day. I believe, and the people, the Catholics of Paris also believed at the time, that it was God's answer to the vow of the Carmelite martyrs. And when Robespierre was executed, when he died, the crowd cheered and cheered and cheered for a long time. The Carmelites offered their prayers and their lives to end the reign of terror and the protection of France, and I believe their suffering and sacrifice had the redemptive effect of doing just that. In conclusion, let's just take a minute to think about the parallels between the persecution of the Catholics in revolutionary France and the situation of so many Christians, so many Catholics around the world today. Do you know that Catholics are the largest persecuted group in the world? Christians are the largest persecuted group in the world. You don't hear that all the time, but it's true. While persecution against Christians in America has not risen to the level experienced in the French Revolution, it certainly has reached that level in other places around the world, like Nigeria, where Christians are killed every day for their faith. Yet we all know that even here in the United States, unacceptable things are happening. Persecution of pro-life activists like Mark Hauck, cancel culture, attacks on pregnancy center and churches, charges of hate speech against anyone promoting traditional Catholic values. Friends, by the grace of God, we need to stand for our Catholic faith no matter what the cost, just like the blessed martyrs of Compiègne. The way they lived and the way they died bears witness to the truth that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne were beatified in 1906 by Pius X. They are currently under consideration for canonization. Blessed martyrs of Compiègne, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.